There it goes. Didn't have a warm enough finger, I guess. Psalm 55 is where we'll be this morning. That's where we'll begin. Psalm chapter 55. Or I guess technically it's Psalm 55, not chapter 55. First 8 verses. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Y'all all know Peter Pan. Well, you may not know him personally, but you know Peter Pan. Peter Pan's the story that most of us as children at least saw the Peter Pan presentation on TV with Mary Martin playing the role. I've never been able to understand why women play the role of Peter Pan. It's kind of strange. But anyway, Peter Pan is an endearing and an enduring childhood classic. Interestingly enough, J.M. Barrie did not introduce Peter Pan as a character unto himself. Peter Pan was a character in a book that J.M. Barrie wrote. The publishers took the few chapters, I think there were about 4 chapters, out of that book and made their own book out of it. And Peter Pan became a very popular character. And as a matter of fact, they did a stage play of Peter Pan. And Peter Pan, of course, had the ability to fly, which was something that all children loved to see. And that's why the stage play became a hit. You know, we've all dreamed about flying from time to time, haven't we? I know I've dreamed about it from time to time. It's kind of disappointing when you wake up and you can't find out you can't fly. But what happened was they had the stage play, and in the stage play, of course, Peter Pan would bring Wendy and the other children out there, and he would tell them that they would be able to fly if they used wonderful and lovely thoughts and some fairy dust. I found out that the reason fairy dust is there is not because that was in the original. In the original story, they could fly because they were thinking happy, wonderful thoughts. But what happened was when the stage play came along, there were children who watched the show, and they'd go home, and they would think that if they used happy and lovely thoughts, they could fly as well. And they ended up having a lot of medical emergencies with children. And so he added, oh, and you have to have fairy dust as well. If anybody ever asks you that, that's a little trivia question for you about Peter Pan. Of course, one of the most endearing qualities of Peter Pan is the flying, but the other thing is the reason why they're flying. In a way, it's the reason that it is so popular with a lot of people is because Peter Pan is escaping. He's escaping from reality. He's escaping from life. He is escaping from his obligations and his care and his concern. Peter Pan is that boy who refused to grow up. As a matter of fact, you remember from the stage play, one of the songs was, I won't grow up, I don't want to go to school. That was something he didn't want to do. So he's not going to go to school. He's not going to wear a tie. He's not going to have a serious expression. He's not going to shoulder, part of the lyrics are, he's not going to shoulder the burdens with a worried air. He would fly away to Neverland where he wouldn't have to grow up. He wouldn't have to face all of those things. And that's what we want to do sometimes. We want to fly away to a Neverland, don't we? We want to fly away someplace where we won't have to face the duties and obligations and responsibilities. It is a fanciful notion that we all have. David had it in Psalm 55. I've got all these things going on. People are oppressing me all the time. He had Goliath to worry about. Then he had Saul. Then he had Absalom. All these things. And you know what? He was king. And when you're king, you have to make an awful lot of decisions. There were a lot of things going on in his life. You can understand why he would say something like, if I just had the wings of a dove, I could fly away someplace where all of these things would go away. I wouldn't have to worry about them at all these storms and tempests of my life. That is a theme that was handed down from David to people past him, all the way down to J.M. Barrie, and also down to the author of the hymn for this morning, a gentleman named Alfred E. Brumley. Alfred E. Brumley was a member of the church in Oklahoma. He was one of the most prolific gospel song writers in the history of the 20th century. He published over 600 songs. Some of them are in our books, and you've heard them. They're very well-known songs. Jesus, hold my hand, this world is not my home. Also, turn your radio on. He wrote that. A great song. I love that gospel song. And of course, he wrote this morning's hymn, which is number 851, I'll Fly Away. And I probably don't even have to quote this one to you. You all know this one. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, O glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days, and then I'll fly away. To a land where joys shall never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, O glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. Brumley wrote this song in 1932, as you notice by the copyright, but he came up with the idea for the song in 1929. So the story goes, and what he talks about, is he was picking cotton in his father's fields in Oklahoma, about the age of 21, 22. Now, you can imagine you're picking cotton. I'll Fly Away is something that comes to your mind very quickly, because you don't want to be picking cotton. I've never picked it. My mom always said it was a horrible thing to do, so I believe her, and I don't want to do that. But what he said was, as he was working in his father's field, he started humming the old ballad that went like this. If I had the wings of an angel over these prison walls, I would fly. And suddenly it dawned on me that I could use this plot for a gospel-type song. And so 3 years later, he wrote the song. And what he said about it was, when I wrote it, I had no idea it would become so universally popular. Ed suggested this song for us this morning. He wants to fly away, I guess. Now, Ed, you didn't give me a reason why you like the song, but I would imagine that the reason Ed likes the song is the same reason a lot of us like the song. It's because it has that theme in it, the same thing as theme as Peter Pan, escape. I can get away from the cares of this life, from the worries of this life, from the burdens of this life. I'm going to fly away to that heavenly home, that celestial home. Just as David wanted to fly away like a dove, we sometimes just want to fly away and get away from it all. There is not a person here, not a person who has not at one time or the other felt the desire, as a matter of fact, felt the need to escape. I had a busy week last week. I did, and I had all these voiceover things I had to do, had to prepare for the sermon. I had work that I had to do, all of this stuff. Yesterday, when I finished the sermon, got all wrapped up with everything, I looked at Angie and I said, let's go somewhere. Let's just fly away. And so we went up to Chattanooga. And of course, as I said in Sunday school, I got caught in all the traffic, so I didn't get away. But it was fun to get away for a little while, and we all want to do that. Well, the fastest way and the easiest way is not to drive. The fastest and the easiest way is to fly. I remember seeing some planes flying into the Chattanooga airport, and I thought, we should have just flown here. We'd probably gotten here quicker. But it is an easy thing to do, to fly, and that way we can just rise above all that traffic, rise above it all. We can soar above all of our troubles and pains if we're flying. All that stuff is back here on earth. All that stuff is below us. We are flying on the currents of the winds. The silence will envelop us, and we will leave all that noise of life behind us when we're flying. All you're going to hear is the rushing of the wind past your ears, and all you're going to feel is the currents of the air flowing over your wings and the sun bathing you in its warmth. Doesn't that sound like fun? Doesn't that sound like a nice thing to do, just to be up there away from it all? But you know something? Even the largest and most efficient bird has to eventually land somewhere, sometime. Even gliding tires the body out some. There are some scientists in Europe who did a study on the Alpine Swift. The Alpine Swift is a very small bird. It's bigger than a hummingbird, but not much. It only weighs about a pound. And it, for some reason, the Alpine Swift migrates to Africa. So they wanted to find out what was going on when it was down there. And they had some ultralight sensors that they attached to the feet of these birds. And they sent them off, and they did their migrations. They came back. They tracked down the birds. They pulled off the sensors, and then started reading the sensors. And much to their surprise, when they analyzed the data, they discovered that some of those birds, those alpine swifts, would stay in the air for up to 200 days straight without landing. 200 days, imagine that, gliding along. You had to sleep sometime. They couldn't figure that out. They figured, well, maybe they sleep while they're gliding. We don't really understand. They postulated the reasons why they do that, and what they came up with is they feed on insects, so they stay in the air so they can eat. And also they postulated that perhaps they stayed in the air so they could keep away from natural predators, which of course makes sense. But whatever happens, there is this law, the law of gravity. What goes up must come down eventually. They must eventually come back to Earth, and they must eventually face the predators that they were trying to get away from. And so it is with us. We can sometimes escape. We can sometimes get away from what's bothering us. We can fly away if we feel like we need to. Remember the stories of the Nazis, you know, who flew away from Nazi Germany to escape prosecution? They just found another one in Minnesota. The guy's about 98 years old, but they're still going to prosecute him. He couldn't hide. He couldn't fly away. He had to land sometime. We've heard about men and women who deserted their families, but they were found out. They flew away, but they were found out many years later. And of course, we all know of people who fly away in different ways as well, to alcohol and drugs and things like that. And they want to reach that what? A high. They want to fly up. But eventually, they come down. And what do you call it when somebody who's up on a high comes down? They crash, don't they? They come down from that. And that's something that happens. People try to get away from those things. But we can't have the wings of a dove. We cannot fly away. We must eventually face reality. We must face the obligations that we have. We must face the cares and concerns of this life. We must face the pains and the experience the heartaches of life and adjust to life and all of its undesirable moments. We cannot soar high above at all on our own, but we can soar with the help of God. Isaiah 40:31 tells us, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." That is an inspiring verse that we all have seen. We've read it for years, and we see it on Facebook, you know, those posters people put up there, and we see it on Pinterest and all those things. And it's a very inspirational thing used by many, many people. But what we need to understand about that verse is this. It does not say that we're going to fly away from all of those things that disturb us, from all of those problems that we have. Nowhere in Scripture, not here, not in Psalms, not in the words of Jesus, nowhere are we told that we will find a place of rest here, not a physical place of rest. We might find one, but we might not find one as well. But we can find spiritual rest in the arms of God, in the arms of Jesus. If we will learn to lean on Him, if we will learn to learn about Him, we will be able to soar. And we will be able to soar so that we can see the world from a different perspective. We can see it through God's eyes. We can understand it through God's eyes. There's a writer named C. Joybell C., and she said this, "For everything in this journey of life we are on, there is a right wing and a left wing." This is not political, by the way. There is a right wing and a left wing. "For the wing of love, there is anger. For the wing of destiny, there's fear. For the wing of pain, there's healing. For the wing of hurt, there is forgiveness. For the wing of pride, there's humility. For the wing of giving, there's taking. For the wing of joy, tears, there's joy. For the wing of rejection, there's acceptance. For the wing of judgment, there's grace. We can only fly with two wings, and two wings can only stay in the air if there's a balance. Two beautiful wings is perfection. There's a generation of people who idealize perfection as the existence of only one of these wings every time. But I see that a bird with one wing is imperfect. An angel with one wing is imperfect. A butterfly with one wing is dead. So this generation of people strive to always cut off the other wing in the hopes of embodying their ideal of perfection, and in doing so have created a crippled race." I think a lot of us would agree with that. People want only one outcome in life, and that's a good thing. They only think that they have to have that one thing, and that will make life, you know, the greatest thing you've ever seen. But to fly, as the author says, we have to have two wings. Now, by the way, I know that a helicopter doesn't have any wings. Well, it does, doesn't it? It has blades. And you know what? Those blades are all balanced, aren't they? If they're off balance, what happens to the helicopter? It's going to fall. It's not going to be able to fly. So we all have to have those two wings in balance. We must look at life and understand that life is not always a bed of roses. There are duties and obligations in our lives that our lives are not always blessed. At least they're not blessed in the way that we think that lives should be blessed. You know, when Job was told by his wife to curse God and die, how did he answer her? He said, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" It was not that Job wanted to have adversity. Job did not want all of these things that happened to him, but they happened to him. He understood that it was a part of life. The great lesson Job had learned early was that there is good and bad. There's a balance. There's good and bad. Things happen. God is with us, though, in all of those times. He's there in the good, and He's there in the bad. He is there to give us strength in our weak times of weakness. He is there to be our helper. He is there to be our guide to get us through those things. Now, Job's friends knew this when they came to talk to him. They knew that. But they didn't understand the most important part. And that is, only when we give in and lean completely on God and trust completely in God can we be lifted up so that we can soar above those things in our lives. You know, when we first become Christians, when we first come to Jesus, when we're first baptized, when we first begin to walk with Him, we begin to take our first tentative steps, you know, like a bird, a baby bird. We're kind of getting into that flying thing. We admire the wings of freedom that Jesus has given us, the freedom from our sins. They've been forgiven. They've been washed away. But the real joy does not blossom in a Christian's life until the Christian learns to fly, till the Christian learns to use his wings to fly higher so that he can see his fellow man and he can see everyone from God's perspective, not from his, from up there in God's perspective. Back in the 80s, there was this song called From a Distance. Some of y'all might remember that. A lot of Christians didn't like that song because they thought it meant that you don't believe in God. God is watching us from a distance. But you know what? If you listen to the words of the song, and if you talk to the author who wrote the song, that's not what this song is about. We need to look at things from a different vantage point, is what this song is saying. One of the lines says, "From a distance, we are instruments marching in a common band, playing songs of hope, playing songs of peace. They are the songs of every man." From a distance, from God's vantage point, we can see that even the mundane tasks of our lives are important. They are part of God's plan. Even if we think that they're the dumbest thing we've ever done in our lives, and believe me, there are some things that go on at work that are very mundane, but they're important. They're important, and the mundane tasks of your life are very, very important. It's a very mundane thing for a mother to do some of the things that she does, but if she doesn't do them, what happens? They don't get done, do they? It's a very mundane thing for a man to do some of the things, that a husband to do some of the things he does, but if they don't get done, then they, you know, if he doesn't do them, they don't get done. And I can attest to that when it comes to taking out trash and cleaning out cat litter. It's a mundane thing, but it has to be done, doesn't it? It's important to the whole household. You know, even Jesus did mundane things. They're not written about because they're mundane. But he got up every morning, he ate his breakfast, he got ready, he did all these things that we do every day, day after day after day after day for 33 years. He did mundane things. He had to have done them. But Jesus also saw people in a different way than we see people. He could see that those mundane things were important. But he also could look at other people. He could see the hungry, and he could understand they were hungry physically and spiritually. He could see people, and he could see they were hurting both physically and spiritually. We can feel the wind of God's grace in our faces, and we can feel the warmth of his love as we soar with him. We can see others from a different vantage point, and we can see people who need to soar just like we're soaring with God. It is a great blessing to be able to soar with God, to be able to fly up there, to see life differently than we have before. And what a joy it is to be able to lift others up and help them to see from that vantage point as well. You know, it's said that eagles, from their vantage point in the sky, can see their prey from about 2 miles away. That's a long way, isn't it? They circle around and they're looking for their prey, and you know they can see a whole bunch of different area, and then they see that rabbit and they go down and grab that rabbit. And maybe that's why Isaiah used the metaphor of the eagle flying. It's not necessarily to describe how high you fly, but also to describe what kind of a vantage point you have as you fly. As the fellow soarers with the Father, we need to be constantly looking for the people who need Him. We need to be dipping our wings to find those people, not as prey, as sometimes people do, you know, get another notch on my belt. I've done this for the Lord, I've done that for the Lord, I've done this for the Lord, I've done that for the Lord, but as people who are in need of God's love, as people who are in need of God's strength and compassion and mercy and grace, to give them that, to give them the message of the Lord, to give them comfort, and to give them wings. You know, we read in Scripture how Jesus healed people and the reactions of the people who were healed. Some of them went on their way rejoicing, we're told, and some of them fell down at Jesus' feet and they started worshiping him immediately. Have you ever wondered how Jesus felt? Have you ever wondered how Jesus felt when he brought back the son of the widow of Nain? Have you ever wondered how he felt when he brought back the daughter of Jairus, or how, you know, when he healed this person of one disease or that person of another disease? I don't think it was pride. Of course, Jesus was not prideful, but I do think it was joy. I think he got a great joy in being able to heal someone of that burden that they had been carrying all of their lives, or for many, many years at least, of that disease, of that affliction, and also to relieve them of the guilt of their sins, because remember, some of the people he said, "You are forgiven of your sins," and then he healed them. It was a double healing. And I'm sure he felt great joy for those people at what had happened with them. And the beauty of those folks who were healed in the Scriptures is that they were able to see life from both sides. They could see that wing of pain and affliction, but they could also feel what it was like to be healed by the Father. Leonardo da Vinci said this, "Once you've tasted flight, you will forever walk the earth with your eyes turned skyward, for there you have been, and there you will always long to return." Once you feel that love of Jesus come upon you, once you feel Him take those burdens, and once you begin to fly with Him, it's something that you want to continue to do. And some people don't do it. Some people return to earth. They get their wings clipped for one reason or another. But once you felt that healing power, once you felt that mercy and grace and forgiveness, why in the world would you ever want to walk again? Why would you not want to soar with the Lord? Mary Chapin Carpenter came out with a song many years ago, "Why walk when you can fly?" And that's the truth. Why in the world would you want to walk in the world of sin when you can fly with the Father and look down and help bring people up there with you? You know, the Alpine Swift may fly for 200 days, but that is nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to the lifetime of the flight of a Christian. We do need to rest occasionally, but when we rest with Him, knowing that He will lift us back up by His Spirit, and He will take us to heights that we never dreamed we could reach. Some glad morning, as the song goes, I will fly away. You will fly away. We all will fly away. And we will reach that ultimate height. We will be able to soar higher than our wings have ever borne us before, and we will go over to that celestial shore. And when we reach that celestial shore, as the song says, we will fold our wings up and we will rest forever with the Lord. We will rest from all these cares and concerns and duties and obligations. We won't be in Neverland. We'll be in Everland. We'll be in eternity with Jesus. There will be no darkness. There will be no death. There will be nothing to disturb us and make us cry and any of that stuff. We will find rest. It's a vision all of us have, and that is what made I'll Fly Away so popular over the years and why it continues to be one of those things that's so popular. I'm sorry, but I have to tell this story real quick. There was a gentleman at Conyers Church of Christ, Preston Cook, who, we were singing this song one day, and he mentioned this, and he said he was working as a roofer one day. And as he was roofing, there was another roofer who was, you know, just having a great time, enjoying his day, and he had some shingles over his shoulder, and he turned, and he was singing, "I'll fly away," and he took a step off of the roof. He flew away. But, you know, that's not what we're going to do. We're not going to go crashing back down to earth. We're going to be resting with God. We're going to enjoy that rest. But while we are dreaming of that flight to heaven, Don't forget to fly here. Don't forget to fly with the Lord. Don't forget to soar like an eagle. Don't forget to look down on this earth and see the people there. Don't let Satan clip your wings to keep you from flying high or to keep you from flying at all. Chuck Yeager, when he was talking about being a test pilot, said, "I was always afraid of dying." Now imagine that. Y'all seen Chuck Yeager, a tough man. I was always afraid of dying. Always. It was my fear that made me learn everything I could about my airplane and about my emergency equipment and kept me flying respectful of my machine and always alert in the cockpit. Chuck Yeager did not mean that to be a religious statement, but that is a religious statement. Don't be afraid of dying. It's the beginning of your flight home. But while you're here, learn to soar. Learn to use the equipment that God has given you. Learn to use it the right way. Learn to help others with that. Use the eagle eyes that the Lord provides you with to see those who are in need of being able to soar as you're soaring, so that they can someday fly away to that celestial shore just like you. Don't be afraid to tell them. Don't be afraid to let them know about Jesus, because they need Jesus. This morning, if you need Jesus, this morning, if you need to answer an invitation, we're going to offer that while we stand and sing. I am not